look in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. Jeremiah, chapter 17. And this morning I'm going to talk about COVID and politics. Absolutely not. Absolutely am not going to talk about COVID or politics, except for I am going to talk about the solution for both of those things. There is a solution for COVID, and there is a solution for the politics of this world that's going on this morning, in this world that we live in. So I'm going to preach to you this morning for just a little while about, and when I say just a little while, I mean tongue in cheek, just a little while. Preach till we get done, amen? Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 7. It says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." All right, verse number 7 again. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I want to preach to you on the blessed hope this morning. Lord, I do thank you for your goodness and for your grace. And I pray, oh God, we're in a little bit different circumstances this morning. We're a little bit out of our element this morning, a little bit different. We've done this before, and Lord, now we're back to it. And I pray, God, that you'd help us and strengthen us and have mercy on us, Lord. And we're here, God, this morning to preach the word, to make sure that the word of God is still going out from this place, whether we can all meet, as the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the whole church be come together into one place, whether we can do it that way or whether we have to do it separately. We thank you, God, for the technology to be able to do these things. And Lord, perhaps some folks have said that technology is of the devil. Well, if we can use it this morning and get something out of it, I pray that you'd help us to do that. I pray, God, you'd be with each and every one of our church members. God, several are sick, and I pray that you would help them, whether they've got COVID or whether they've got other things going on this morning. I pray that you'd help them and touch their bodies and speak to their hearts, God, and do a great work in their hearts. While you're working on the body, pray you'd work on the heart as well. I pray, God, that you'd watch over us and keep us safe. And we'll thank you and praise you, God, for those who are already in harm's way. I pray that you'd bring them through it. Brother Mike just led us in that song about the storm passing over. We know that you're a God during the storm, just as you are before it or after it. We pray that you'd walk with us and go with us. We'll thank you, God, for all that you do. We thank you, God, that you will come and that you are the hope that we have. We thank you and praise you for that. And I pray you'd help me just to preach a little bit and magnify that point. And I'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name I pray it. Amen. Amen. All right, here in this passage again, it says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." So that blessed hope, we talk about that out of the New Testament. There's a couple of passages for that. We'll get to those in a little bit. But when I was thinking about the blessed hope this week and was doing a little bit of Bible study on this, I found this passage over here. And it doesn't say blessed hope, but it says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." And so I wanted to preach to you just a few minutes about the blessed hope. But first of all, let me say this. It's not a blessed wish. Not a wish. A wish, somebody said one time, got up in the pulpit and said, people talk about hope and we don't hope anything we know. Well, I think he was looking at it from just a little bit different of an angle than what the Bible means. He was looking at it more like a wish. But the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is our blessed hope. And so a wish is something that's probably not going to come true. You know, I wish I had $1 million. Well, you could work for that, and they'll get most of it in taxes. If you make $1 million, you really probably made about $200,000 or something like that. I don't know what the tax bracket is for folks who make $1 million. Just never experienced that before, so, and I certainly didn't look it up. But at any rate, when you're talking about a wish probably isn't going to, you might wish you was Mickey Mouse, that's not going to come to pass. You might wish you was Iron Man. That's not going to come to pass. You know, and those guys are just, I hate to break it to you, but those guys are make-believe. Iron Man and the Incredible Hulk and Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, all those things are made up. Amen. God is real. You know God's real because people get mad about stuff like that. Nobody gets mad over Santa Claus because he ain't real. Amen?
Yeah, amen?
And all this wishing that goes on, people wish they had $1 million, but they don't wish they could go to work today. I wish I had $1 million, but did you wish you could go to work today? Well, if you're not going to go to work and do meaningful work, you know, you wish you had $1 million, but you didn't wish you could go to college. You laid out of college, laid out of high school, so you're probably not going to make $1 million, not unless you're a criminal or just a really hard worker. But wishing is for the birds. Wish is probably, but a hope, if you look up the definition of hope, you'll find out that a hope is, you know, people are not looking for wishes, they're looking for hope. And the reason is wishes don't come true and hope has a very real possibility of coming true. That's why they call it hope. You're in a bad situation and you have hope that the situation is going to get better. Some people are in conditions where there is no hope. The Bible says lost people are alone and without God in the world, and the Bible says they're without hope. Without Christ, there's no hope. So we call the Lord our blessed hope. We call the return of Christ the blessed hope because it's a very real possibility that he's coming back. Amen? It's very likely. You say, how likely is it? 100%. 100% likely. That's what it is. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. And I don't think I've ever talked about this in church before, and maybe you never heard anybody talk about it in church before, but I really just wanted to give you the difference between this word. It says in verse 7, blessed. You said, Brother Mike, I think it says blessed. Well, that's because you can't read. It says blessed. There's a difference between, see, blessed is an adjective. And blessed is a verb. Now, we don't put no stock in the Pope, of course, and the Pope's blessings. If the Pope blesses you, you're in trouble. But when the Pope comes out and blesses all the, that's a verb. If the preacher comes out and blesses you, that's a verb. But if the Lord has blessed you and you're reaping the benefits of being blessed, you are blessed. And it seems to me like somebody, whether you call that happiness or whether you call it joy or whether you call being blessed reaping of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the things that the Holy Spirit produces, if you want to call that being blessed, that's all well and good. All those things will fit. But the Bible says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. It surprises me if people want joy and people want happiness and people want all these things. It's a wonder they don't trust anymore. Because the Bible tells you just exactly how to be blessed and how to be blessed. Amen. You can live in such a way that God will bless you. And when God blesses you, you'll be living a blessed life, not a depressed life. I'm not saying that there'll never be a depressed moment. I'm not saying there'll never be ups and downs. I'm not saying you won't suffer things as other men suffer them. I'm not saying you'll never have tragedy. I'm not saying you'll never have anything. But if you'll put your trust in the Lord will bless you, and you will live a blessed life. When the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is things like joy, that's real. That's not make-believe. That's not wish. That's not a wish. It's not me sitting around saying, well, I trusted God yesterday. I wish I would, you know, get some happiness or joy. No, there's no wishing about it. I have that hope. I believe in Jesus. I trust in Jesus. Jesus died for me. Jesus saved me. Jesus gave me his Holy Spirit. I've got hope that I can wake up tomorrow and maybe everything in the world not be right. Maybe everybody in the world not be well in body or something like that. Maybe we won't have the most money, but I wake up with joy in my heart because I got a blessed hope. You say, how do you know that's true? How do you know it's that simple? Because the Bible says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Amen? Now, you can be blessed. Somebody can bless you, like I was talking about the Pope blessing folks, or a pastor blessing folks, or, you know, somebody sneezes. We just use that word kind of flippant, don't mean anything. Somebody sneezes, say, bless you. Maybe they don't deserve to be blessed. I don't know. Maybe they deserve a whooping. I don't know. I know most of the time I deserve a whooping. Of course, you sneeze now and they're not going to say bless you. They're going to say some other words. They say some cuss words and put a U on the end of that. But that's the case, isn't it? We use the word. We just kind of throw words around. But you can be blessed. Somebody can bless you or say bless you, and you know, not really be blessed, not really be living a blessed life. A lot of us have been blessed, but we're not living blessed lives. How do I know that? You can have food. That's a blessing. But you can have food and not be thankful. See, a thankful person is really living a blessed life. A man that looks at what he has, whether it's his food, whether it's his vehicles. I know my wife is probably having a fun one with that. They can look at things that they don't have, and they can look at the things that they do have and compare those things and weigh those things out and find out that the have-nots is outweighing the haves and still be thankful. That's a blessing. I don't know if you realize how many people have a lot of money and still not happy with it, or have big cars and not happy with it, or have their wives still alive, their husbands still alive, their children still alive, not happy with that. They're really blessed, but they're not blessed. You say, how do you know? Because they have things, but they're not thankful. That's being blessed and not being blessed, not living a thankful life. Absolutely. You can have potential. Potential's a blessing. You know what it's like to be able to sit down and read a book and to understand the words? You know, that's really a great gift from God, to be able to sit down and read a book and get something out of it. So how many people have the potential to read and don't read? You got a Bible, you can find out everything God wants you to know, but we don't read it. You got a spelling book, but you still make F's on your test at school. Well, you got potential, but you're not reaching. Well, potential is a blessing, but you're not living a blessed life because you got potential. You're not living up to it. There's a few examples about that. Folks have clothes, but they're not modest. You can be modest if you want to. God give you the money to buy some clothes and cover up and be a decent human being, not tempt somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband. God give you clothes, but you don't put them on. God give you food, but you're not thankful. Amen. You got potential, but not reach it. You can have a house and not be content. The Lord said you got food and raiment. Be content therewith. I guess he's the one that knows what he's talking about. Now, you might argue with me, but you're not going to argue with the Lord, not get away with it. Amen. Have a home, not be content. You can have a mouth and communicate no righteousness, edification. You know, if you've got a mouth and you can use it to speak, you've got the answer to everybody's problem in this world. And I'm not talking about going to school to get counseling so you can help suicidal veterans, and there's a lot of those out there, and I hope they get the help they need. But if they get the help that they need, it won't be from some DAV counselor out there saving their life. If they get help, it's because we got a blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can heal the brokenhearted, and he bore our griefs.
Yeah, amen.
He's the one.
Yeah.
He's the one.
Yeah.
And Christians have a mouth. They got a voice. That's what John the Baptist said he was. He said, I'm a voice. But they're not communicating the righteousness of God, the gospel of God. Well, that's a blessing to be able to talk. But the only blessed speech there is Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. That's blessed talk right there. Amen. The Bible says, let no evil communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. So many times we're loose with their lips. We're quick to gossip. Hey, did you hear what that fella said? Hey, did you hear what that guy said? Did you hear what that gal said? Did you hear what they done? And talk. And I find that this day and time, Folks know more about people they've never been around than anything else. Well, you know, when Joe Biden gets in office, he's going to do this and that. You don't know what he's going to do. All you know is what Alex Jones and Rush Limbaugh said he's going to do. You know how you know what they're going to do? You wait till they do it. You say, are you arguing for Joe Biden? No, I'm arguing for the Lord. You know all about him. You got a book that told you everything he intends to do, everything he has done, everything he will do, and you got the potential to save a lot of lives. You got a potential to save a lot of heartaches. You got the potential to save people from an eternity in hell. You've been blessed. But you're not blessed. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Got a mouth and communicate no righteousness. That's what you call having potential and not reaching. That's what you call being blessed or being blessed without being blessed. Amen. You can hear the gospel, how Christ died for your sins. You can hear that, but if you never trust him, you're not saved. That's what you call being blessed. You know it's a blessing. Have you ever tried to get rid of a guilty conscience? Boy, that's a stubborn thing. A guilty heart is a stubborn thing. I don't care if you done it when you was 12 years old. I don't care if you done it when you was 6 years old. Things, the Lord has wired you up to where you are either going to feel guilty about it till you get it right, or you're going to harden your heart until you become so jaded you can't even think and feel straight. There are people who can't get along with their wife or can't get, I mean, there was a point where you loved them to death. There was a point where wives loved their husbands. They loved their children, but their hearts are so jaded they can't even see the blessing of having a wife, of having a kid. And the reason that is probably not because they lost a love for their husband or for their wife or for their children. It's some unforgiven sin back in their past that hardened their heart. And if you get a heart that's hard towards God, it's going to be hard towards the woman you love or the husband you love or the child you love. What it is you've been blessed with forgiveness, but you're not living the blessed life of being forgiven. Make you hard-hearted. Make you hard-hearted. I know that for a fact. I know that if you don't harden your heart, if you harden your heart, you might forget about some things, but I promise you this, that hard, jaded, uncaring, narcissistic characteristic shows up in your life if you do that. If you keep a soft heart and an unforgiven sin, you're going to be worried about that. I mean, I'm not talking about just abominations toward God. I'm just talking about misdeeds, things you shouldn't have done. Amen. I can think of some things that I've done as a little boy. I mean, I'm talking about 7 or 8 years old, done things Mama told me not to do, done things that Mama wore me out for, and I still remember them. I've still got them right here. I remember them, but I also remember that they're forgiven. Well, if I could still remember them and still feel bad from time to time about doing them, imagine if they weren't forgiven. It'd be hard for me to love my wife or love my brother or anything else if I was trying to cover up stuff like that. Amen. You hear the gospel and how Christ died for your sins and you're not saved, you got no hope. You've been blessed, but you're not blessed. You're not living that joyful life. Amen. Amen. Now let's look at Titus chapter 2. And Titus chapter 2 is where we get the phrase, that phrase that we all know and love, I guess, if we've been reading our Bible. Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 13. Well, let's read verse 11 as well. I'd like to throw this in here. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. See, saved. If you're saved, you're blessed. If you're saved, you've been blessed. And I hope you're following the fruits of the Spirit and the direction of the Lord and growing in grace and knowledge. You live a blessed life. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, this is what grace teaches, denying godliness and worldly lust. So, well, that sounds like legalism to me. It sounds like graceful living to me. Now, you can argue about that if you want to, but I just read the verse of Scripture. I read the Bible on it. Well, I don't like all these rules and regulations. That's because you're a rebel. That's what's the matter with you. Amen. I'm not an all-knowing, being. I'm not God, and by no stretch of the imagination, I'm not God. But boy, I got a good idea that this COVID and stuff like this, I'm not going to blame it too much on Chinese or nobody else. I blame it on unrepentant people.
Yeah.
When you get to the point where you can abort 100,000 babies a year and have 900,000 or 1,000,000 divorces in a year and swap wives left and right and all the pornography and all the foolishness and all the drugs and all the filth on the rap music and the country music and yeah, that's right, good old boy music, just as wicked as any other kind of music. When you got all that stuff going on, every other song's about cheating on your wife, every other song's about getting drunk. You don't be surprised when there's a plague or two come down the pike. Don't be surprised when there's earthquakes and tornadoes that wipe out entire cities and hurricanes that come on shore and wipe stuff out $40 billion a click. You say, you think that's all God? I know it's God. You say, how do you know that? Because the same Bible that told me Jesus loves me, this I know, the same book that told me that tells me God has his way in the whirlwind. Now you can either believe that and turn to God and put your trust in God or go home and wait for God to rip the roof off your house. Amen. And then something like that happens and a preacher gets on TV and says, this is God, we better get right. And the news media opens their mouth about it and the next thing you know the preacher's on TV. I'm sorry I said that. Don't be sorry, turn up the mic. Turn up the volume. Scream it out. When they cry out against you, cry out even louder. This is God's doing. Hey, they're not one person going to die unless God says they're going to die. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, God himself, has the power of life and death. Not one person could die from COVID without God letting it be so. Amen. You say, well, ain't God love? Sure he is. He died on the cross. You heard that and you won't follow that. Don't talk to me about love. You don't love a man that died on the cross enough to put your faith and trust in him. Don't talk to me about God's insufficient love towards you. You're the one with insufficient love. Amen. And don't abort no babies and tell me anything about love. Amen? Amen. Amen. Titus chapter 2. I don't know if I got that far yet, but the Bible says that the grace of God teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It can be done. This present world, I mean, with all the liberals in charge, we can live godly lives? Sure we can. Nebuchadnezzar was in charge and Daniel lived a godly life. Pontius Pilate was in charge and Jesus lived a godly life. Peter didn't do a bad job. Amen? Well, I think Peter kind of made a mess of it. He got a book in the Bible. You ain't. That's a good way of looking at it, ain't it? Amen. Well, he says this present world. And then he says this, verse 13. Well, let me read verse 12 again. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. How are we supposed to do it? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The Bible says looking for that blessed hope. Looking for, that's an important part of it, and we'll get to that in just a second. Looking for. Let me ask you this. Are you looking for that blessed hope? He said, look, now he equates it in the next portion of the verse, looking for that blessed hope. What is it? He says, and the glorious appearing of the great God. The coming of the Lord Jesus is the blessed hope. When David was king in Israel, he got deposed for a little while and they run him out. And when all the problem was over, when the troubles was over, when the trial was over, there was a question, and the question was this: how come you're so slow in bringing the king back? You got your rightful king. Now, it looks to me like you'd want your rightful king back on the throne. And for the New Testament parallel to that, Jesus is the rightful king, not Trump. Not Trump. You say, who do you like better than Biden? You like Biden better or Trump better? I don't care. My personal opinion about who should run this dumpster fire of a country means nothing beside the fact that Jesus is going to come back one of these days, and he's going to set everything right. He won't have to make no presidential decrees or administrative orders or anything like that. He's just going to come and rule things the way he wants it done. You say, what is that? That's a blessed hope, because I know he's going to do everything right, amen? It's a blessed, look, hold your place there if you want to in Titus, and look at Hebrews chapter 9. It's not too far from where we was at. But Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 28, it says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, see, that's what we're talking about, looking for that blessed hope. In this passage it says, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It's a blessed hope. The return of Christ is a blessed hope because it's an end of sin. And the only person that should be happier than you are about that is me. Amen? I mean, in your own heart, you know that even since you got saved, this flesh is just a big bundle of trouble. And the more you rely on it, the worse it is. It seems like the harder you try, the further you fall. Have you ever found that to be true? Man, it's almost like we're a bunch of dumb billy goats. We're butting up against a brick wall of impossibility on a regular basis. I am going to beat this. And it's just like butting up against a brick wall. You hit it and the bricks fall off the top rung and bust you in there. You get the impact and the bricks falling on you. And it's just, it's insult to injury is what it is. I'm going to beat this. And not every man ever beat anything by saying, I'm going to beat this. Now, if you got a problem in your life, a temptation, I recommend you get mad at it. I mean, certain things, like if you got a problem with cigarettes, I recommend you get the mentality, this thing's killing me. I mean, hey, this thing is trying to take my life. Now, I don't know if you understand that or not, but if you walked out of this building and I come around the corner with a gun going to take your life, your mindset would change. You might be whistling Dixie or the latest George Strait song or something like that, but I promise you, when I come around the corner and stick a gun in your face and say, give me your wallet or give me your life, there's going to be a lump come up in your throat. You're going to have all kinds of desperate thoughts go through your head, and you're not going to be thinking, all my exes live in Texas. You're going to be thinking, oh my God! Exactly right. And you say, well, what are you trying to talk about? I'm talking about most of the sins that this world indulges in ain't doing nothing but killing you. Alcohol, it kills people. Cigarettes, it kills people. In that sense, get mad at it. I mean, every time you go to put you a big old char of tobacco in your mouth, think, this is, R.J. Reynolds' way of taking my life. See how long that lasts until that thing really sinks into your skull and say, you know, it is trying to kill me. Then get mad dog mad at it. Maybe you'll be able to quit. I don't know. But I got news for you. If you quit smoking or if you quit drinking, I guarantee you one thing you'll find as a Christian life, you're still a sinful man in this flesh. And everything you try to quit, the harder you try to quit it, you'll find that the harder you try to quit, the more you'll find out you're just a man. And when you find out you're just a man, you'll find out that Jesus Christ became a man and died on the cross as a man to pay for man's sins, and you're included in that, and Jesus paid your ransom, paid your redemption, paid for your sanctification, paid for your salvation, paid for your adoption, going to come back here one of these days. And when he does, it'll be an end of sin. That ought to be a blessing to the Christian. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. You say, what was he talking about? He was talking about trying to live a Christian life in a sinful body. Somebody read it the other night in the book of Hebrews. We got talking about the Old Testament tabernacle. Said it was divine service in an earthly tabernacle. Well, what do you think you are? Divine service in an earthly tabernacle. Your curtains are getting holes in it, and the wood's rotting away, and the underpinning's going, and the fence around you is falling apart. That's what happens to earthly tabernacles. Anybody know where Moses' earthly tabernacle is? Ain't been around in a long time, has it? It's fallible. Of course, I know where it is, but I have to show it to you at a different time. But at any rate, most people don't know where it's at. You say, why? Because it's just an old earthly tabernacle that gets used and then gets put aside. It's weak. It falls apart. Lets you down. You say, what's the big deal about that? Jesus is going to come set us free from that. Blessed hope, because it's an end of sin. Romans 7, he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I'm glad there's an answer to that question. You got a habit. Listen, I hope you get it beat. I hope you get the victory over that thing. You got a habit that you can't beat. There's only one thing I can recommend to you. Blessed hope. Sanctify God in your heart. Call out to God. Become more of a Christian. Let Christianity be real to you. You'll get the victory over some things, but they'll wake up the next day. This flesh will still be here, but not after the Lord comes. It'll be gone. You won't ever have to wake up and check yourself again. You won't never have to walk past an old beer cooler and say, boy, one of them sure tastes good right now. I hope you're past that in this life, but I know that people, from time to time, you hear about Christians going back. Oh, you say, Brother Mike, I don't believe nobody can be saved and drink a beer. Well, you don't get saved by drinking or not drinking. You get saved because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And if somebody tells me that a Christian never gets weak and never goes back to the weak and beggarly elements of this world, you're out of your mind. You're pretending. If you say that a Christian never goes back to an old lifestyle, it's because you've never been a Christian. Amen. Amen. And after about three or four good failures the first week you're saved, you'll be sticking your hands up in the air. Hopefully somebody taught you right, that it's Jesus, not you. That it's his strength, not yours. That it's his righteousness, not yours. It's his merit, not yours. You can do your best to live up to it. I hope you do. But you're not the blessed hope. Jesus is the blessed hope. Amen? It's blessed because it's going to be an end of sin. It's blessed because it's the one thing that you were looking forward to that won't let you down. Remember, I read it to you over in Titus. It said, looking for that blessed hope. Looking for it. That's one way to make it blessed, is to look for it. A lot of people not happy about the Lord showing up because, number one, that's going to ruin a lot of their plans. And another thing is they just don't think about it. Church is just something you do on Sunday morning. I hope you're saved. I can't speak for you. I can't really see the condition of your heart. Only you and God knows that. Maybe you're saved and maybe you ain't. But salvation is more than just doing your little religious duty and coming to church once a week and flipping some beads, or maybe coming to church because it's Jesus' birthday or because it's Easter Sunday. That's not what Christianity is all about. Christianity is about Jesus died on the cross because he so loved the world that he gave his life for you, that he was buried and he rose again, he ascended back to heaven, and he sits on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you right now. You only think you're praying about what you need. Jesus is putting in labor. Jesus is putting in time, making sure that's what is best for you is being done for you right now. But it goes way beyond that. He's coming back one day. This is not just a world where we live and die and we're forgot about forever. The Bible says if that's the case, if we're not going to be resurrected, if Jesus wasn't resurrected, we're still in our sins and we're without hope. But that's not the case. That's not the case. You say, what is it? Jesus is our best hope, is our blessed hope, because it's the one thing you were looking forward to that won't let you down. How many things have you ever planned and looked forward to in this life, and it just never came to pass? You know, a lot of people look forward to bad things more than they do look forward to good things. Now, I don't want to go too far in what I'm saying, because when you're talking about COVID and diseases, and whether it be COVID or cancer, it doesn't make any difference. You know, there are more people in this world right now, I believe, this is my opinion, but I believe there's more people in the world right now that's worried about getting cancer than there are people that's thanking God that they don't have it. I believe that with all my heart. I mean, you could wake up every day and say, God, I want to thank you for my health. And there's a lot of people with this, what they're calling a pandemic, and they're saying, hey, you know, I sure hope I don't get it. Well, I hope you don't get it neither. Probably, since it's a virus and it gets spread just like a flu does, probably everybody's going to get it. You know, when I was a boy, everybody was worried about mono. It's a virus. Everybody was worried about mono when I was a little boy. Of course, they told us, don't be kissing no girls, and you won't. I guess I took from that girls was the cause of it. But that's just what you get when the science teacher isn't real clear on what they're talking about. But they called it the kissing disease, mono. And everybody's worried about it. If you get it, you'll have all these symptoms. But you know, just about everybody on the planet got mono now. You say, why? Because it's a virus, and it spreads from person to person. And before it's over with, probably the greatest percentage of the population is going to get COVID. That's just the cold, hard facts. They're trying to make you wear masks and all that stuff because they don't want the hospitals overflowed. We're not going to talk about the fact that when the thing came out, China started building hospitals. America ain't built one yet. Not for COVID. Because once COVID's over, they don't want competition. If you get competition in the healthcare industry, you get prices that go down. They don't want prices to go down. They want prices to stay up so they can move you off of public healthcare private healthcare into public healthcare. They build all these hospitals, they'll be shooting their Obamacare in the foot. So not going to build none. They're going to make you wear a mask, and you're going to get it anyway. You're just going to get it a lot slower. And until you get it, you're going to sit around and worry about getting it rather than being thankful that you're healthy. Amen. I guarantee you this, what's better for your health is being thankful that you're healthy. That's more healthy than sitting around worried about something you might get. Well, I don't think it can be that simple. Well, go on and worry then. Go on and worry then. Your life, your business. Amen. You say, what do you got, Brother Mike? Blessed hope. Got a blessed hope. Got a great physician. Got a wise creator. Amen. Amen. I don't know who made COVID, but I know who made the body. Amen. David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonder who made him. God made him. Amen. I like that anyway. You might not like it, but I like it. It's a blessed hope because it's the one thing you were looking forward to that will not let you down. Amen. Titus 2:13 said, looking for that blessed hope. Well, you're looking for a day with no debt. That's probably never going to come. You're looking for a day. I tell you this, if you're over 50 years old or if you're over 45, well, really for me, it started about 40. After 40 years old, I'll take a day with no headache or no backache or no elbow ache or no knee ache. And it seems like things in my body just turns hurting. I can be thankful that everything don't hurt at once, but after I spend about 3 days with a sore knee, that'll get better and it'll be my shoulder. Once I get full motion back in my shoulder, it'll be a different knee. Or my third elbow, or something. I mean, something hurts. Sometimes it feels like I got extra arms and legs. They all hurt so bad. Amen? Well, you're looking for it, but that day probably never come. See, the things we look for lets us down. Boy, one of these days I'm going to get a better job where I don't have to work so hard. Probably not. Probably not. You know, on that note, some people's afraid to even try to get something better. Well, I probably couldn't do that. Did you know you've probably already had a great idea that would have made you lots of money, but you didn't try it? You say, well, I couldn't afford to quit my other job. Do it at the same time. What's wrong with that? Get a good idea? Try it. You know why people don't try? They don't have hope. They just got worries. Amen. A day with no arguments. How about that? Looking for that day without arguments. Probably not going to show up. Amen. Looking for a day where you will not have to deal with the shortcomings of others, whether that be husband, wife, child. Some people have a hard time in this life. We were talking about being blessed a while ago, living a blessed life. Well, if you got a good wife or a good husband, works hard and does what they can for the benefit of the family, that's a blessing. There's a lot of people that can't stand who they're married to. And all they're looking for is just one day when they don't get on my last nerve. Amen. Because you got a bunch of people out there that's still kids. They're still living for themselves. They're playing grown up. Their own happiness is all they care about. So nothing gets fixed. Nothing gets fixed. That's whether you're a marriage, if that's a marriage, if you're a race of people, if you're a religious denomination. It doesn't make any difference in the world. As long as you're thinking about yourself and worried about yourself, what you're wishing for and hoping for is never going to come to pass unless you go take it by violence. And then that'll not satisfy. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. In this country, you've got whole races of people that's burning down their own neighborhoods and struggling to take their heart's desire by force, and they'll never get it. And I'll tell you the only one way to get it. If you want peace as a black man, if you want peace as a white man, if you want peace as a Mexican, if you want peace, and it doesn't make any difference in this world who you are or what you are, if you want peace, you're going to have to fall down at the feet of the blessed hope and call on him for salvation, for sanctification, for direction, for inspiration, and submit yourself to him. That's the only way you'll get it. Only way you'll get it. You can climb your way to the top and claw your way to the top and bend everything in this world to your will and to your way. And once you get it, you'll have nothing but chaos. Have nothing but violence. Have nothing but anger. Have nothing but angst. That's all you're going to get by clawing your way to the top. Kneel down at the feet of Jesus. Submit yourself to him. You'll have peace and a blessed hope like you never imagined before. You say, why is it a blessed hope? Because it's the only thing in this world you're looking forward to that's not going to let you down. He's going to come. He's going to come. He's going to be here. He said, well, they've been saying that for a long time. Maybe we'll say it for a long time to come yet. I don't know, but I know he'll come. You say, how do you know? His track record's good. What do you mean by that, Brother Mike? Everything in the book that ever said was going to come to pass, try to deny it. Only person that can deny that, somebody that ain't read it. When they read it, they'll be scared to death. I don't know if they'll admit it to you or not, but once they read the book and find out how accurate the Bible is, they'll be scared to death when they lay their head on their pillow at night. I don't care if they come to work the next day and tell you, I'm still an atheist. And why is your heart shaking like that when you go to bed then? Amen. Amen. Let me read you one more verse here. Maybe three. Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter number 3. It's a blessed hope. Colossians chapter number 3. And let's look at verse number 4. It says, when Christ, who is our life, did you know Christ was our life? Brother Mike, it's hard to be a teacher when Christ's your life, ain't it? Amen. I know it's hard to drive a truck when Christ is your life. It's hard to put roofs on somebody else's house when Christ is your life. It's hard to really buckle down, dedicate your life to chicken farms and tobacco farms and all the crazy jobs people got in this world. It's hard to buckle down and do those that type of work when Christ is your life. Amen. That may not go for every Christian out there, because there's a lot of Christians that just wholly given over to this world. But there's some Christians around who Christ is their life. And it's hard to do other things. I understand that. From time to time I try to admonish young preachers to stay the course and do what you, but on the other hand, I understand chomping at the bits. I understand wanting opportunities. No question about that. Because when Christ is your life, what can you do except preach? What can you do except for witness? Amen. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 4, it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And I don't believe that's so much talking about a particular place as it is just being glorified yourself. When Christ appears, he's going to change our appearance. The Bible says he's going to change our vile bodies to be made like unto his glorious body. When the Lord shows up, the way he shows up is the way he's going to make you. Talking about a frail body, it's going to be a strong body. Talking about a contemptible body, it's going to be a perfect body, a whole body. He's going to change our appearance, and that's a blessing in and of itself. And just to give you a great example of that, I'll show you what he's already done for you. Look at Isaiah chapter 53, and we'll close with this. And I believe this is a very good illustration of what Christ has done in our lives. Not just what he will do when he shows up, Brother Mike, but what he's already done for us. Isaiah chapter 53. Now, look what he says in Isaiah 53 and verse number 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Now, this is talking about Jesus, Old Testament prophecy about Jesus Christ. And remember, the passage we read over in Colossians says that when he shall appear, then we shall appear with him in glory. Now, Isaiah 53 and verse 2 says, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. When we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. That's how the world sees him. That's how the unbeliever. When he says we, he's talking about Israel, because he came to his own, and his own received him not. But that can also go, there's a bunch of Gentiles that seen him but didn't desire him. They saw a weakling instead of the bravado. What this world wants is big and strong and beautiful and healthy and lively. But when they see Jesus hanging on the cross, they don't want stuff like that. They'd rather have a big, strong military general than Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. And that's what he's talking about here. It says, he was despised and we esteemed him not. We hid, as it were, our face from him, is what it says. It says, when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now look at 1 John. You can hold your place right there if you want to, but look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, and let's read verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It's a great blessing to be saved. So a lot of sickness going on. Yeah, but we're saved. Oh, it's an uncertain future we got. Don't know what the president's going to do. Don't know what the stock market's going to do. Don't know if my job's going to stay open. But know I'm saved. Know I'm saved. I don't know what about my loved ones. I know my loved ones are saved. Amen. Amen, that's pretty good. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. See, when they saw him, they said, this is not a man to be desired. Verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, that other passage of Scripture said, when we shall see him, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. First John said, when we see him, He said, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As he is. We see him as he is. You say, how is he? He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. But that's not all. Back in that same book, Isaiah chapter 9, well, we could say he's the Savior, first of all. That's the way I see him. Who's Jesus? He's my Savior. I don't see him as a letter downer, do you? Maybe that's too big of a hillbilly word for you. I don't know. But you've probably met some letter downers in your life before. People let you down, don't they? That's not Jesus. Jesus is Savior. That means he saved us from something. Amen. You say, what do you see? Well, we see him. Do you see him and don't desire him? I'm afraid a lot of people see him and don't desire him. Amen. I'll tell you this, as a pastor, I know this for a fact. A lot of Christians would rather have my help than Jesus' help. That's true. Now, I may not be the best example because I may not be the best pastor in this whole world, but I do know, having pastored about 13 or 14 years altogether, I do understand that there's a lot of Christians, as long as they can come bend my ear, and we'll use the word Christian lightly, I guess, because they must not believe they've got a Savior. Because who do you really want to go to, your Savior or your pastor? Now, I understand God gave pastors for direction and inspiration. I understand all that. But one doesn't go very well. A pastor doesn't go very well without a Savior. If you were saved, make it a lot easier on your pastor. Amen. Well, we shall see him out as he is. Isaiah chapter 9, 6 says he's wonderful. That you don't even need a lot of, he's not talking about wonder bread, wonderful. Wonderful. He's wonderful. Much more wonderful than your favorite soap opera, your favorite television show, or video game, or whatever the case might be. Jesus is wonderful. Oh, COVID's bad, but Jesus is wonderful. Biden's awful bad for the country, ain't he? Well, just about anybody be bad for the country. I say we just get rid of all the representatives and all the presidents and just keep a mayor, maybe. You say, well, then the whole world would go to pot. Ain't that where it's going right now? I know who would be good for the country, though. Jesus. Amen. You say, why? Because he's wonderful. How about counselor? Do you see? When he appears, we see him as he is. He's a counselor. That's what's going to be so good about it. You know, a lot of people are going to see it for the first time, and I'll say congratulations to you. But you're going to spend your whole life without a counselor, without anybody to tell you what to do, without anybody to guide you, without anybody to lead you. And you've been blessed by God projecting himself into this world and shining the Bible said he's shining his light on every man that comes into the world. And you're going to spend your whole life rejecting that light. But the first time you see him, you're going to be, man, he had all the answers. Some of us already know it because we've seen him as he is. Well, I'm not going to take your word. I'm real sorry about that. If I could change something about me that would make you believe me, I would certainly do it, but I can't. But I can point you to the man that can change you and give you all the answers you need. He's a counselor. One day he'll show up. I hope you find out. I hope you see him as he is before that day. The Bible says he's the mighty God. This Jesus Christ is not just Christ the man. He's the everlasting Father. I see him that way. You say, why? Because I see him as he is. I don't have to wait till the second coming to see that. I see it right now. The Bible says he's the Prince of Peace. Whether you're talking about peace in your heart or peace in your neighborhood or peace in your country, peace in your marriage, peace in your business, it's Jesus Christ that's the Prince of Peace. One of these days he's going to show up and he's going to restore peace 100%. And I don't know about everybody else in the world, but Brother Mike, I know this. He's coming to bring peace one day, but today I got peace in my heart right today because I done seen him as he is, a Prince of Peace. It's not a blessed hope that I'm waiting for. It's a blessed hope that I have right now. Got it right now. Do you want it? That's a matter between you and Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe it's saved from sin, first of all, saved from anger, saved from warfare, saved from whatever unrest you got going on in your life. But my message to you today is, we have a blessed hope. Will you make him yours? Will you make him yours? Lord, we do thank you this morning for your goodness and for your grace. We ask you to bless the preaching. And Lord, we don't have a big crowd here this morning. Lots of folks staying at home today and on purpose, God. We set it up that way for each other's safety and protection. But Lord, we know that we must have the preaching of the Word of God. And we pray that you'd help us. And though it be going out over the airwaves, and though there's just a few people here, I pray that you'd bless these that have come. And I pray you'd bless those that have heard it over the airwaves. And whether we be here present in body or whether we be in our own homes, if we've heard the message this morning, God, I pray that you would give us a heart that would magnify you and make you our blessed hope. Lord, we may have bad men in leadership, and we may have bad biological things that are circulating throughout our world and throughout our neighborhoods and throughout our homes. But I pray, oh God, you'd be with us and help us and protect us. Lord, we're not just waiting for some blessed hope that's way out in the future. We have blessed hope today. We see you as you are, a great physician, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, the best counselor that there ever has been, the most wonderful man that's ever walked the face of this earth, died on the cross for us to give us life. We thank you, oh God. And Lord, we choose the blessed life. We choose the blessed life. Help us to not have a heart that's attached to this world to the point, oh God, that we wallow in its grief. Help us, oh God, to attach our hearts to the blessed hope. And we'll thank you, God, for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen.